The original version is the 12th month, the year 2015. The current version is the 5th month, the year 2020. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 12th month, the 8th day, the year 2015, and it's the third weekday, and it's a feast day of the Immaculate Conception of our Blessed Virgin Mother, Mary. And the title of this lecture is The Immaculate Conception. And we're going to show through the Bible some brief verses proving that it was prophesied, and indeed it is true, that Mary was conceived immaculate, which means she was conceived without original sin. She never had the least stain of any sin, and also, as we went over in our previous lecture, she also never committed any sin. So not only was she not conceived with original sin, but she never also committed any actual sin, mortal or venial. We went over that last week. Today we're going to concentrate on the miracle of the Immaculate Conception, which is the second greatest miracle of all time, and was absolutely necessary to get the first greatest miracle of all time, which was the Incarnation. One of the proofs we use about the Immaculate Conception is that Jesus Christ, when he came to earth through the womb of the Virgin Mary as a man and took on her flesh, and he would never take on the flesh of a creature that was ever subject to the devil in any way. Never guilty of any sin, never stained with any sin. So also she was free from original sin. Her flesh didn't have concupiscence nor venom of original sin. Or as God would have never came down and took on her flesh and come into her womb. The first dogma we teach as Catholics is that Mary's God's greatest creature he ever created. Obviously, because she's the only one he chose to come down and take on her flesh and become man. And at that moment forward, he was not just God, but he was also a man. We read about how she's the greatest of God's creatures, of his daughters. And Mary is God the Father's daughter, who is above all daughters. We read about that in the Canto of Canticles, chapter 2, verse 2. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. That's how much greater Mary is to all the other women, and also men. She's like a lily among thorns. And there's even holy people included. That's how much Mary is above the holiness of all us other human creatures. Now we read about in the Canticle of Canticles, chapter 4, verse 7, referring to Mary, thou art all fair, O my love, and there is no spot in thee. No spot. No stain of original sin is what we use that to refer to that. Now we read about that what God's way for him coming down to earth to redeem us and to enter this earth as a man was through the womb of Mary. We read about this is the immaculate way. We read about that in 2 Kings 22:31. God, his way is immaculate. The word of the Lord is tried by fire. He's the shield to all of them that trust in him. His way is immaculate. And the way he came down to earth was through the Blessed Virgin Mary, which was also immaculate. We also teach as Catholics that Mary is the living ark. Just like in the Old Testament, you had the Ark of the Covenant, which was not a living ark, but it represented the Blessed Virgin Mary. And inside that ark was the law, the tablets of the law. So Mary is the living ark, and inside Mary is the living law, God himself, the lawgiver. So Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. All that was all symbolic of the Blessed Virgin Mary. We read about how that ark in the Old Testament was framed, how pure it was. Now, we read about this in Exodus 20, chapter 10 to 11. Frame an ark of setim wood. The length whereof shall be of 2 cubits and a half, the breadth a cubit and a half, the height likewise a cubit and a half. And thou shalt overlay it with the purest gold within and without, within and without, and over it thou shalt make a golden crown round about it, which is a crown of Mary. She's the queen. It's pure gold in, pure gold out, spotless. So when Mary came as a living ark, she's pure outside and within. Now we read about how God sanctified the good St. Anne's womb in preparation. And at the same time when Mary was to be born in that womb of the good St. Anne. We read in 2 Parelli Pomenon, chapter 8, verse 11. It is sanctified because the ark of the Lord came into it. The ark is the Blessed Virgin Mary, came into the womb of the good St. Anne. And St. Anne's womb is sanctified. And so obviously Mary sanctified in the womb of the good St. Anne. We read about, too, in the scriptures in Psalm 45, 5, King David says, the Most High has sanctified his own tabernacle. And Mary was the tabernacle of God. That's how God came down through earth, through the womb of Mary. That's the ark. And it says God has sanctified his own tabernacle. Mary is sanctified. And we read, too, in Ecclesiasticus 24, 12, it says, and he that made me, this is the Blessed Mother speaking, and he that made me rested in my tabernacle. God, resting in the womb of Mary, taking on her flesh. And he sanctified that tabernacle. This is all in the scriptures. So these Protestants that deny this dogma have to take a careful look at these scriptures and take them in proper context. Because Protestants, they're all of bad will when it comes to taking Bible verses out of context and dogmas, twisting them and misinterpreting them. I'm showing you some verses that are proving to you that indeed it was prophesied that the Blessed Virgin Mary will be immaculate and without sin. And how could it be any other way? How could God ever come into the womb of a woman that was ever under the clutches of a devil and take on her flesh? Now, indeed we say God rested in Mary as God and man, as Jesus Christ. Now, of course, some people can say, how could God make Mary immaculate? But all things are possible with God. He could do that even before he died on the cross. We're going to get into later how Mary still needed to be redeemed and needed the merits of Christ. We'll get into that at the end of this short lecture. But we're going to show you what Job says right here. And Job chapter 14, verse 4. Who can make him clean that is conceived of unclean seed? Is it not thou who only art? He's saying God can make anything clean if he wants. And in this case, Mary was never made clean. She was created clean. She was never stained at all. That was the miracle that took place in the womb of Good St. Anne, the second greatest miracle of all time. You got to read my book, The Miracle of the Immaculate Conception, where I go into that. We read the Catholic commentary on Job 14:4. The justification of the sinner is a greater miracle than the creation of the whole world, says St. Augustine. The birth of Jesus Christ was free from stain, as was also the conception of his virgin mother by the power of God and by his grace. God alone who can purify him. God can make her clean. In this case, we say regarding to Mary, God preserved her clean. She was never stained. So God didn't make her clean. He preserved her as clean. She was sanctified right from the beginning. He created her that way. She didn't need to be sanctified. Now, I can see all you Protestants out there getting ready to throw a verse at me, Romans 5:12, where it says all men have sinned. I'm going to prove to you again your extreme bad will. You do this consistently. I'm going to prove to you in this case that that all, when it says all men have sinned, is not literal. What it means is almost all men have sinned. We have many examples of this through the Bible. I'm going to start out with the first fact that the Protestants agree that Jesus Christ was a man and is man even now, and they agree he never sinned. So if that verse is literal, all men have sinned, then Jesus Christ would have been stained with sin. We read in 2 Corinthians 5:20-21, for Christ knew no sin. And they agree with that, that he was sinless. Okay? So when it says all men have sinned, that excludes Jesus. We say it also excludes Mary. And indeed it does. That's just one proof that there's exclusions. I'm going to now show you that there's other references in the Bible where the verse all is used, but it doesn't mean literally all. It means almost all. We're going to read about here in Exodus 9:6. Now, you all know that of all the Jews, the Israelites that came out of Egypt, originally came out of Egypt, Joshua and Caleb entered the Promised Land. All the rest died in the desert. Their children came in under Joshua and Caleb. But when you read Deuteronomy 2:14, let's read that. It says that all of those that left Egypt died in the desert. It's Deuteronomy 2:14. At that time, we journeyed from Kadesh Barnea till we passed over the torrent Zered. It was 38 years until all the generation of the men that were fit for war was consumed out of the camp, as our Lord had sworn. All of the men. But that's not literally all, because we know Joshua and Caleb entered. So what does that all mean there in that verse? Almost all. There's an exception of two here. Just like there's an exception of two when it says all men have sinned. Excludes Jesus and Mary. We're going to give you another example here where the prophet David says in Psalm 13:1, God speaking, he says, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there be any understand and seeks God. But all of them gone aside, they are all gone astray. There is none that doth good, no, not one. But David was holy at that time. And he was writing that psalm. And he was good. And you get many verses like that where the prophets speak like that. And where they're saying all the men on the earth are evil, Jeremiah, Isaiah, but we know they're holy. So in this case, David's composed that psalm and he is holy and he is good and pleasing to God. So when it says no, none are good, no, not one, it means almost none. Almost. There's so few that you may as well just say they're all bad. That's what's in context. Here's another verse we're going to read where all does not literally mean all. And maybe you'll catch this after I read it. This is the book of Wisdom, chapter 7, verse 2 to 6. In the time of 10 months, this is Solomon speaking about how he was born from his mother's womb. In the time of 10 months, I was compacted in blood of the seed of man and pleasure of sleep concurring. And being born, I drew in the common air and fell upon the earth. And the first voice which I uttered was crying, as all others do. I was nursed in swaddling clothes and with great care, for none of the kings had any other beginning of birth. For all men have one entrance into life and like going out. All men. That's not literal. Who did two? Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were not born from parents. So what do we have here again? He says all men were born from the womb of a mother. Not true. Adam and Eve. Again, two exceptions to this verse. Read this, Protestants. If you took that literally, you'd have to see Adam was not made from the earth and Eve was not made from the rib of Adam, but they came from the womb of a mother. And that's not true. Again, it excludes Adam and Eve, just like when it says all men have sinned, excludes Jesus and Mary. Now we're going to read these verses again, and I'll see if you can figure it out yourself, that all doesn't mean all. And this is the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verse 9, verse 12, and verse 17. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just and perfect man in his generation. He walked with God. Verse 12. And when God had seen that the earth was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Verse 17. Behold, I will bring the waters of a great flood upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life under heaven. All things that are in earth shall be consumed. All things? Was Noah corrupted? No. And he didn't destroy Noah and his seven family members. So eight people are excluded from this all. We also read that about John the Baptist. It says that all of Judea came out to be baptized. But we know all of Judea did not come out. The Pharisees, the people that opposed Christ, the ones that murdered him. So all is not literal there. Also, King David says all men are liars. But King David's writing this, and he wasn't a liar. Again, Protestants, please listen to this verse. All doesn't always mean all. And a lot of times it means almost all. And that's what we teach about when we say, how we explain when it says all men have sinned, we say that excludes Jesus and Mary. And if you have any love for God and his mother, whom he came down to earth on, the greatest creature you ever created, how could you dare say that God would ever take on the flesh of anybody that was stained with original sin? Or even in the clutches of the devil for even an instant? We're reading from a Catholic imprimatur book. St. Augustine says that the Son of God would never make himself a more worthy dwelling than Mary, who was never possessed by the enemy or despoiled of her ornaments. And St. Cyril of Alexandria asks, who ever heard of an architect who built himself a temple and yielded up the first possession of it to the greatest enemy? And if Mary was conceived in sin, she would have been in a possession and she would have belonged to the devil. So he's saying God would never do this in his holiness and purity. It's contrary to the nature of God. We read here, the flesh of Mary and that of Christ are one. And now, if this is true, supposing that the Blessed Virgin Mary was conceived in sin, though the Son could not have contracted its stain, nevertheless, his having united flesh to himself, which was once infected with sin, a vessel of uncleanness, and subject to Lucifer, would always have been a blot. God would never do such a thing. I see what Protestants are thinking now, or maybe other people, but I thought it said all men need to be redeemed and need the merits of Christ. And we say indeed they do. Even Mary was redeemed. Even she needed the merits of Christ. But her redemption took place ahead of time. With the foreseen merits in which Christ knew he was going to earn when he died on the cross, which was going to happen in the future, he took those merits and he redeemed Mary ahead of time. And he redeemed her in a very special way by preventing her from falling into original sin. All of us are redeemed only after Christ died on the cross, and our redemption comes after we were born in original sin. He cleanses us from it. But Mary, he prevented her from ever falling in the first place by the future merits and redemption that he was going to earn when he died on the cross. So Mary needed to be redeemed. Mary needed the merits of Christ. If Christ didn't die on the cross, she could never have been prevented from falling into the original sin, and she would have went down to hell with all the rest of us. So that's what we teach. We don't teach that she didn't need to be redeemed. We call that by way prevention. You know, some people use an example. We actually are born in a pit of sludge. Call that original sin, right? Mary was prevented from ever falling into that pit. We had to be pulled out and cleaned up. Mary was prevented from falling into that pit. But she was prevented by the same redemption and mercy that we are when we're cleansed. But she was prevented from falling into it in the first place. Now we're going to read from a definition by apostate antipope Pius IX. Unfortunately, it's not an infallible definition. He was an apostate. So this is another point we're going to bring up briefly here. The Immaculate Conception has not yet been infallibly defined, but it will be by the next pope. So we hold this opinion, and we believe in it firmly. But Nevertheless, even though he's an apostate antipope, in this definition, he gives truthful statements. And this is from Ineffabilis Deus in 1854. And he says, Mary, the most holy mother of God, by virtue of the foreseen merits of Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, was never subject to original sin, but was completely preserved from the original taint, and hence she was redeemed in a manner more sublime. We declare, pronounce, and define that the doctrine which holds that the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, in the first instance of her conception by a singular grace and privilege granted by Almighty God, in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the human race, was preserved free from all stain of original sin, is a doctrine revealed by God and therefore to be believed firmly and constantly by all the faithful. This is a truthful statement nevertheless, and it's showing you what we're saying here. She still was redeemed and she still needed the merits of Christ. I will end this lecture now, just referring you to, if you want to read some more details on the miracle of the Immaculate Conception, that's the title of the book itself. I have another book out there titled Mary, God's Masterpiece and Lucifer's Fall. That goes into some beautiful, wonderful details about the greatness of Mary. And I'm also going to come out when I have some spare time with a lecture and an article on all sinned except Jesus and Mary. Well, I'm going to go into more details of what I already just briefly mentioned to you. But this should be sufficient for people of goodwill to understand what I'm saying is true. And hopefully you Protestants, I hope you have some goodwill to get rid of your pride and to take a look at these things in the right light so that you may have a chance to come to the true Catholic Church before you die, which is only here in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, with us at Mary's Little Remnant. At least it's the only place I know where Catholics are in the whole world. So that you may come into this true Catholic Church and have a hope to save your immortal souls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.